Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio live in studio. Parker Kelly behind the glass. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. As always, at 9 o'clock on Fridays, Max joins us to talk all things Preds for the first hour of the show. Max, how's it going? Big win last night in Game 2 of the homestand.
Yeah, winning is good. Thanks for having me, Jake. I also want to say hi to Parker because I didn't say hi, Parker, before the show started. But also,
hello, Max.
Congratulations on scoring for the Quebec Nordiques last night, the other Parker Kelly.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought goal, but hey, there we go.
You're supposed to say pucks in deep.
Pucks in deep.
Yeah.
Having Parker Kelly and Jake Wallman working at the station for a while was great.
If you are interested in working in radio, no matter what, you should come work here. Talk to Chase McCabe. But especially if you have the same name as an NHL player,
yes,
with one slight spelling difference,
right,
we're looking for you.
That is almost exclusively who is hired around here lately. So, yes, Parker Kelly got one in the back of the net last night. Preds winning 2-1 yesterday, snap a four-game losing streak, and felt like a much-needed win for this team. You know, Tuesday did not go the way they wanted, and little bit kind of reverted back to last year where there were some issues on the defensive end, giving up easy chances in front of UC Saros. It was good to see yesterday they were able to clean that stuff up and get a win 2-1 over the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and Saros is going to have to make big saves every time. And he gave up one goal. I think the Canucks probably deserved 3, 4, 5 goals the way this game went. And Saros was unbelievable. And the shots on goal are not going to tell the story of this game. Shots on goal were 35-20 in favor of the Preds.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't remember the Preds having a single grade A scoring chance other than Ryan O'Reilly's shorthanded goal. Like, that to me was the only grade A for the Preds in that game. And I think the Canucks probably had double digits. And I know Willie Donick is going to look at the analytics and tell me the Preds, according to whatever site they use for it. And I appreciate analytics. I use them a lot.
Yeah.
But the eye test to me in that game was the Preds did not have a lot of great scoring chances. Matt Wood had one, so I'll give him two for that.
Yeah.
And was robbed of his first NHL goal by Thatcher Demko. But to me, the Canucks had all the chances in this game. And that's what happens when you take 5 penalties in the first half of the game. You got a ton of killing to do, but thankfully for the Preds, their PK for the second year in a row is not only by far the best unit of the team, it's the strength of the team in every way. And last night, they killed 5 penalties. They killed off a minute and a half of 5-on-3 time late in the first period, and they scored a shorthanded goal. Like, what more do you want? Maybe start playing the whole game shorthanded.
Right. I mean, the Preds now have half as many shorthanded goals as they have power play goals this season. So maybe playing 4-on-5 is better than playing 5-on-4 for this team.
Yeah. Hey, that was a great goal, too, by Ryan O'Reilly.
It was.
We haven't seen too many moments where the skill can come out from him yet this season. He had the power play game winner on opening night.
Yep.
Other than that, he's been hard-nosed area, tight area passes, grinder that he is. And, I mean, people forget he's an amazing shooter. He is a sharp shooter when he gets the chance.
Cole Smith had the game-winning goal. It was a tip that by about a whisker got across the goal line before it was swept out of there. And that was, I mean, it's a game of inches, and they were able to get that puck across the net. I think it was Alex Doherty posted the picture of Thatcher Demko looking back and seeing the puck just slowly rolling towards the goal line. It got in, and the Preds are able to win it 2-1. You know, sometimes you need a little bit of puck luck when it comes to those things.
Yeah, well, the fourth line deserved that, first of all. After they scored that goal with 14 minutes and 51 seconds left, I was sitting next to the great Brent Peterson, original assistant coach of the Preds, who I'm very fortunate to sit next to in the press box at almost every game. And I told him, Petey, we got to play that fourth line the final 15 minutes the way they're going. Just have them hang in the D zone because, you know, you're not going to score again anyway, the way things have been going this year. So try and lock it down and win 2-1. And those are the guys to do it. Ozzie Weisblatt got the forecheck going. McCarron, Smith, and then Justin Barron and Spencer Stastny quietly have been a really productive third D pair for the Preds. And I think even when Nick Hague returns from injury, which is potentially happening sometime within the next week, I think that pair is staying together. So it was a great shift. And also, Thatcher Demko, I thought was leaky last night.
Yep.
That one, the puck got through him. I think he gave up some bad rebounds early in this game. He's just such an interesting goalie, and we've gotten to know every single facet of him the last three seasons,
right?
The playoff series.
The injuries.
Like, when he's healthy, he's really good. He's so often hurt, but last night the rebound control, I just didn't think was good at all for Demko. And I don't know. The Canucks are interesting. I think out of the eight teams the Preds have played this year, they were the worst looking team, which is very concerning for them because they're at a crossroads. They got a new coach. What is going on with Elias Pettersson? He's apparently still unhappy, even though JT Miller got traded away. So who knows? But it was great to see Kiefer Sherwood. Great to see Kevin Lankinen, even though he didn't start. They have a lot of individual players I like, but they have so many young guys right now. They have some injuries, and I talked about this on the broadcast last night, but it's incredible how much both these teams have turned over in 17 months since they played in the playoffs.
Right, and they play again coming up in just a couple of weeks, too.
Here again, too, right. 2 Mondays from now.
Looking through it, including this five-game homestand, 9 of 11 games at home just before heading across into Sweden, right?
Yes.
Yes, heading to Sweden to play the Penguins.
You're all twisted because you're going to Paris with Andy Rubin's basketball around the same time.
Yes, leaving in 5 days, which is stressing me out. But
why?
We're going to Memphis, too, on Sunday for an exhibition game. So I've got 2 days here, 2 days in Memphis, 1 day, and then we're going to Paris. So
you guys should have scheduled an exhibition game at Henry County High School, and you could play in Paris, Tennessee.
There
and
we
then
go,
Paris, France, back to back.
That's what Chase McCabe told me the other day. I was telling him I'm gonna be gone for a couple of days, and he's like, you know, you're playing in Paris, Tennessee, not Paris, France.
Yeah, Henry County's like a $1.15 away. You can stay at Andrew Jelk's house, and he'll get you taken care of.
Yes, looking forward to the Preds being over there in Europe as well. But yeah, 9 of 12 before heading across the pond are going to be right here in Smashville, including a back-to-back this weekend against LA and Dallas, and we'll get to that coming up in this hour. You mentioned Matt Wood making his season debut for the Preds yesterday, injured during training camp, went down to Milwaukee for a little bit, came up and seemed to make an instant impact on the ice yesterday playing with the top line.
I thought he was great. I thought he did everything he did well in the preseason, and Andrew Brunet instantly, when asked about it postgame, said the exact same thing. So that makes me feel smart because I'm not always right. So people should know that when they listen to the radio and hear me talk. But I thought he was great. And you know what? If you can't play well and conform in the NHL, playing with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg,
yeah,
it might not happen in the first game, but that's on you. It shouldn't be hard to find someone to play with those guys. And Matt Wood is in pole position right now. He was the best player in the NHL in the preseason before he got hurt. He had 5 points in 2 games. He was absolutely going to make the team out of camp. He was going to play on the top line on opening night. And then he gets hurt in the intra-squad game in Clarksville. Tough injury to take. He had to shoot just wall ball style in Centennial that final week of practice.
Yeah.
You could see, I mean, he was a caged bird. He wanted to make the team. And even though Wood is still not the most outwardly emotional player, you can tell his fire is lit in a way that it was not as an amateur player.
Yeah.
And even more so than it was when he made his NHL debut in the spring. And there are little moments of him where you really see him go after it on the ice now. And I think those will continue to come when he realizes that he's 6'4" in the NHL. Like, I was thinking yesterday, if I was his size in the NHL and I was a professional athlete, I would be doing the craziest stuff in the world. So think about what he is going to grow into and what he'll be coached into. And these things all take time. He's played 7 NHL games, but it was very promising last night. And he probably should have had 2 goals in that game. Demko robbed him on a pass out of the corner from O'Reilly in the second period. Then he had a like spinorama kind of shot, little turnaround shot that he didn't quite elevate enough, and Demko got him with the pad. If he elevates that, it's a goal. I don't really hold that against him because it was a turnaround shot, no look.
Yeah.
But it could have been a 2-goal game for Matt Wood, and it was also his first time facing his hometown team. He's from Vancouver Island, and he didn't grow up a Canucks fan, but got to be cool. to face the Canucks.
Right, starting your season against the team that you grew up right down the road from, and he played well. You know, you talk about his size. Preds getting an influx of talent off that injured reserve with Matthew Wood and Nick Hague. Lots of size for those guys, too, once Nick Hague comes back into the lineup, and hoping that's within the next week or so. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max on the Preds, get those in. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, the big news of the week for the Predators. They sent their fifth overall pick, rookie Brady Martin, back to juniors. We'll talk to Max about that decision and what that means for the young rookie moving forward. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly on this Friday. I guess it's fitting if we're doing White Girl Friday music for Connor to play Big Time Rush while Max is on. Since they are hockey players in the show, you know, marrying two worlds together.
I planned that out accordingly.
Yes, I bet you did. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, we'll come by Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Colts. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. Talking with Max about the Preds, and you can get your questions in for Max, 615-737-1025. Max, Brady Martin sent back to his juniors team this week and only played three games in the NHL. On Tuesday, Barry Trotz came on DVD and said that he thinks it's a disservice to Brady Martin if he's only playing 10 to 11 minutes a game. He played 10 minutes and 51 seconds on Tuesday and then was sent back to juniors on Wednesday. Thoughts on the decision to send him back and what he can gain from the experience that he had at the NHL level at just 18 years old?
It was going to take an otherworldly performance for him to stay beyond nine games, and I think I've been consistent with that and what I've told you the last
pretty
three
much
Fridays,
every week,
right? So, I think this whole thing is a major net positive, and I would encourage everybody to go watch Barry Trotz's press conference. And by Barry Trotz press conference standards, it wasn't that long; it was about 10 minutes on Wednesday, I believe. The video is on the Predators website. And if not, you can tweet at me and I'll send you the audio if anybody out there wants to hear it. But the whole thing was a net positive. And just being around is great. And being around in the regular season means a lot more than being around in the preseason. And he played three games. He had his first NHL point. He played with Philip Forsberg. His whole family got to see him play. He had an incredibly emotional NHL debut.
Yeah.
And he got to travel through Canada, and I think there was value in that week. I wouldn't say it's the most valuable thing he did. Obviously, playing is more valuable and practicing is more valuable. And unfortunately, because of the way that road week was structured, the Preds only had one practice. So he had a lot of kind of individual work, which means something on NHL ice. Get to see the empty arenas, working with former Preds Sebastian Bordalo, who's the team's skills coach, who does a great job. And I just think the game experience means the world to Brady Martin. And outside of on the ice, he really fits in. He's not shy. And I really enjoyed getting to know him in the ways that we did because he was so himself. And I was curious what that would look like because in the rookie camp, he quickly asserted himself as big voice in the room. And almost there was he was the youngest guy or one of the youngest guys there, but he was almost kind of the emotional captain of the group. And it was awesome to see because him and Andrew Gibson played together in the Sioux last year. So they're buddies and they're screaming at each other in the locker room. They're squirting water at each other while the other one's doing an interview, like stuff like that. That's like, oh my God, like they're so like, they're just happy to be
right
here.
You're not just a shy 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You're fitting in.
Like, either you're being a human. Like, that's really what you want to see. And then it didn't really stop when it was just the NHLers and him. And he kept sticking around, and they moved his locker from one crowded corner to a less crowded corner. And it's like, hey, there's not really as many people here as there used to be. And he continues to fit in. I think he had a firm individual relationship with every other player on the team, which really means something for someone who you would probably like to be captain of the Nashville Predators in the future at some point. So I think that stuff all really matters. And I have not checked if this has happened yet. The Sioux Greyhounds have not yet named a captain this year. I think it's pretty obvious it's going to be him. I don't know for sure that that's happening. I don't know when that's happening, if it's happening, but presumably that is happening. I think he has a chance to be in the leadership group for World Juniors for Team Canada this year, depending on how the first half of the OHL season goes and how he asserts himself in camp there. So, You know what? I think he's in good position. I think the Preds are very happy with the pick based on what they saw so far. I think there's a scenario where he, I mean, if your fifth overall pick is a total no-show in camp and doesn't play in NHL games, there's a chance where it's like, oh my God, why did they not take James Higgins? And that's definitely not how you feel right now. So
right.
I think the whole thing was a net positive for every single part of the organization.
Yeah, I believe Barry Trotz in that press conference basically said that he didn't think there was much of a chance that Brady Martin was going to make the team out of camp. And just being able to make the team and get that two-week experience at the NHL level, like you said, I mean, the road trip, just being around the guys and getting that experience traveling with an NHL team, I'm sure that's valuable as he gets adjusted. And
yeah.
I would expect that the plan is that he comes back next year and hopefully is a full-time member of the team, and he can kind of hit the ground running because there won't be quite as many firsts that he's going through.
Yeah, well, an interesting comp is Beckett Seneca, who scored against the Preds on Tuesday night for the Ducks. If you watch the NHL draft 2 years ago, he was the guy who got picked third overall,
yes.
And they cut to him making the Vincent Van Gogh scream face. He was so shocked that he was picked that early over, who was it who went after him? A couple of guys.
Yeah, you could read his lips.
Caden Lindstrom was
right behind him.
And then Ivan Demidov fell to fifth, which is crazy because Demidov is so good, as we saw last week. But Seneca did not play in the NHL last year. So Martin already has three games on him in his draft plus 1 year that Seneca didn't have. But Seneca was great in camp for the Ducks this year. He's still junior eligible as a 19-year-old, which Martin will be next year.
Yeah.
But he made the team. He's playing in the top six, and he's scoring goals on a team that is putting up big goal numbers.
And that's what you hope for Brady Martin. And you hope he goes back to juniors and just dominates this year. But I think it became pretty clear early on with the way they were using Brady Martin, and you had said this from the beginning, that there wasn't much of a chance for him to stick around long term. They were going to pick and choose their spots, play him at home where you could get the right matchups for him, and don't want to say, like, shelter him, but make sure that you're not putting him in a position where it's too much for the young kid, and making sure you put him in the right positions to build some confidence up before they sent him back.
Yeah, well, you don't want him to be responsible for a goal against.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's as simple as that. And Andrew Brunette was pretty clear about this, and I want to make sure I say this clearly. It's not just we couldn't play him on the road. We could only play him at home. It's that they couldn't play him on the road against the four teams they were playing on the road.
Yeah.
And in the four arenas and on the 4 days that they were playing on the road. The four road games were the Senators home opener, a rare day
on Canadian Thanksgiving.
On Canadian Thanksgiving afternoon, a rare day when that arena in the middle of nowhere, Ontario, is full. It's usually absolutely empty when the Preds go there.
Yeah.
It was full. They were excited. The Senators are good. Like, that's an avalanche waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's not exactly a recipe for success for an 18-year-old.
Right. I mean, and you're going to be facing off with Stutzla and Tkachuk because they have last change.
Right.
Then the next night in Toronto, it's Toronto. If you so much as trip over the puck in the corner,
it's going to the net.
That's on Canadian TV for 10 years. That's what everyone's going to think of when they think of Brady Martin if that happens in Toronto.
No, that's a good point.
And also, Auston Matthews, Willie Nylander on the other team. Those are the guys you're going to be going up against, and you don't have the ability to line match. Thursday night, Canadians, 22,000 fans who have their oohs and their ahs, and it's the most unbelievable atmosphere ever, and you saw, even with the Preds' most experienced players on the ice, what happened with Cole Caufield at the end of that game.
Right.
And then Saturday night in Winnipeg, Hockey Night in Canada, which is also its own beast. So if they had played, honestly, almost anyone else on the road, I think they could have gotten him in one of the four games.
Yeah. I mean,
it's quite a parlay.
When you go through it, it makes a whole lot of sense because it's like you're either getting ridiculous atmospheres where, if this is going to be an 18-year-old's first experience playing on the road in the NHL, those are probably not the spots where you want to put them in there. And again, you know, Austin Matthews against Toronto. Like, that's not who you want him to have to, to worry about in his first road game in the NHL. So I think it makes sense to pick and choose your spots with a player that young. And now he gets the opportunity to go down, as Barry Trotz says, overcook a little bit, and he can come back next fall and hopefully be a difference maker for this team moving forward.
Well, he's definitely not overcooking as an 18-year-old in the OHL unless you really like your meat really, really rare. No, he needs to cook, and he needs to be the guy. And I think that is very, very reasonable. Presumably, like I said, he'll be captain of his team. He'll be the man in a small town where the OHL team is everything in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, right on the Canadian side of the Michigan Upper Peninsula, with head coach Terry Crisp leading the way, except we're about 45 years past that. But I really wish Crispy was coaching him, because that would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Something important, too, is the Preds are going to give him some space, too, which is nice. So the way this works with the prospects, the NHL does this differently from any of the other pro leagues. You draft as you turn 18. You stay with your amateur team, wherever that is in the world, and the pro team can check in with you. And I think the NCAA has laxed their rules about this a little bit. But in the OHL, you can do whatever you want. You can send your development coaches there anytime. They can get one-on-one time on ice with the players. They can get full access with them. And the Preds have a really unique development plan. And I will selfishly plug the Preds official podcast episode this week. We had Scott Nickel on, who our fans know is a former Preds player. He's one of the Preds assistant GMs. He's in charge of the player development ladder, and he is also the GM for the Admirals AHL team. And one of the many things he does is delegates who from their prospect player development staff goes where at specific times. They have a forward development coach, Nathan Gerby, who used to play in the NHL. They have a D development coach, Rob Scuderi, who was Hal Gill's D partner for a long time when they won the Stanley Cup together. And they also have Mark Borowiecki, former Pred, who's kind of the off-ice human development type guy, which is the perfect role for him and is a really valuable role. And a lot of the Preds players, especially someone like Spencer Stastny, credit Boro for everything in their careers. And then they also have a strength coach who travels. His name is Mike Kadar. He's new to the organization this year. He was an NHL strength coach for a long time. And the Preds are one of a few teams, Scott Nickel tells us, that has this position. That is the guy who is going to be on speed dial for Brady Martin.
Yeah.
And he lives in Ontario, so the Sioux is kind of way out there. But it's in the same province, at least. It's not close. But that's the guy. And all these guys are going to be checking with Brady Martin. They're going to be checking in with him throughout the season. They'll be going and visiting him in person. They'll see him at road games. They'll be there developing relationships with his family as they watch him. Like, it's almost like college sports recruitment, but after you've already got the guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is really interesting to me. And Martin is obviously their top pupil. They do this for everybody who's been drafted. But something important, too, is that they are going to give him his space, because they've done a lot of coaching with him, a lot of developing with him since they drafted him in the last week of June. They're going to let him go back to the Sioux, be the guy, and just be Brady Martin. He doesn't need to be NHL or Brady Martin.
Yeah.
He's going to have fans coming up to him asking about it every day, and kids wearing Preds jerseys up there coming up to him. But he just needs to be Brady Martin, soon to be hopefully captain of the Sioux Greyhounds,
yeah,
and hopefully one of the OHL's leading scorers, and we can worry about what Brady Martin, the NHLer, looks like as the season goes on, as the World Juniors happen around New Year's, and then when he comes back to Nashville next summer.
Brady Martin getting some valuable experience up at the NHL level, now heading back to Juniors, and hopefully will be a crucial part of this team sooner rather than later. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions, thoughts for Max on the Preds, we will get to those. Again, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll go through some individual performances over the past couple of weeks. Luke Evangelista has gotten off to a strong start after missing most of training. training camp. Steven Stamkos had some comments this week as well that we'll hit on with Max. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Vandy fans, it's time to party. The Commodores are ranked in the top 10, and ESPN's College Game Day is coming to Nashville to celebrate. 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live today from noon to 6 p.m. at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway.
Let's go.
Yeah, we got a Vandy grad in studio here with Max.
So I literally just found out that this Party Foul exists. It must be very
new. Me too.
And it's in Aronson, which is very fancy. And,
yes.
Opened after I graduated. But yeah, it's right at that intersection where I'm still mad that they put in a traffic light in 2018.
Yes, it's like right down the street from all the bars in Midtown.
Yeah, it's across the street from where Nashville used to be, and now all these soulless apartment buildings are instead.
Yes, I need to check out the new Party Foul. I was very upset they closed the one in the Gulch. So, you know, now we got a new one.
You don't need
just
to
down
go
the road.
To the Gulch, Jake.
I live around the Gulch.
Oh well,
that's what I'm saying. It was walkable.
Jake, I'm so sorry. That was not a party song. That was
no, it's okay.
Terrible timing.
You know, maybe
we need to
coordinate on the liners and the music. Also, going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri this Saturday. So come out to that all-new Party Foul in Midtown today from noon to 6.
I would have to leave early for the Preds game.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm very excited. I'm going to College Game Day. We were soliciting signs for yesterday. Excuse me. They were soliciting signs for Willie to hold on Willie's show.
Yeah.
We are also looking for signs for Carrot Hammer's 3-year-old daughter to hold.
Okay.
She's going to be the star of the show.
Awesome.
Obviously. So looking forward to that. I'm headed over there today. The game day set is literally right next to my freshman dorm. So just another crazy thing about Vanderbilt football being good. And yeah, I'm very excited. I'm sad I can't go to the game since the Preds will be playing right after, but they will. Both games will be here on 102.5 The Game.
Yes, right here on 102.5, 1 o'clock pregame, 2:30 kick. I'm going to try and get out there for at least an hour of game day. I have to be at the game relatively early to get ready for the broadcast, but definitely going to check it out. Looks like it's going to be fun. Nate Bargatze officially announced as the guest picker, as we kind of assumed all week. Dierks Bentley, Kenny Chesney both doing musical performances, so it's going to be great. Going to be great, and hopefully a lot of fans show up. You mentioned signs. Connor Newt's going to join us at 10. We are going to ask for your best ideas for game day signs for tomorrow. So if you want to start getting those in, 615-737-1025.
Well, I'm not going to have a sign. I'm not going to. But mine would be that James L. Lasseter is the future of sports, number 41. Go Doors.
I like that. I like that. The one from 2008 that everybody remembers is the "You people are blocking the library." So yeah, send in some ideas if you've got some good game day signs, and we'll get to those later on in the show. Max, let's talk about Steven Stamkos a little bit. Mark asked the question, and this is kind of where I wanted to go too. Why do you think Stamkos hasn't found his rhythm since being here? Is it the style of the system? Is it his line mates? Is it his age? Why do you think we haven't seen Steven Stamkos be Steven Stamkos since he's moved to Nashville?
I think of those options, it's probably line mates. You got to think about the fact that he played with Nikita Kucherov for so long, and he wasn't with him at the beginning of his career because
right.
He's older than Kucherov. But once he got with Kucherov, that was 40, 50-goal seasons for Stamkos every year, 100-point seasons for Kucherov every year, 60, 70-assist seasons. Like, Kucherov is so good.
Yes.
And he continues to produce, even without Stamkos, which is a credit to Kucherov and, I mean, a credit to Jake Gensel and Braden Point. Like, those are great players. But it's impossible to match that production. So I think of those answers, it's line mates, but Stamkos just hasn't been good this year. So he hasn't even been like receiving passes.
Yeah.
So it's everything's been going wrong. And I gave him a lot of credit after last season. He really handled a tough year like a gentleman, which you would expect from someone who has that reputation like he does and is going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But you can sense the frustration this year.
And Andrew Brunette is tried to shuffle him around a lot. It feels like more than anybody else, he's trying to find the right combination with Steven Stamkos. He started the year with Fedor Svechkov in the middle. Then they moved him around and had who was in the, they had him on the top line with O'Reilly and Forsberg for a game there, and then now they have him in Jonathan Marchessault's spot with Bunting and Holla. It just feels like nothing has quite clicked for Steven Stamkos at this point.
Yeah, I actually still like him with Svechkov, and I thought Svechkov's game last night was by far his best of the year, and it's not saying much because he has no points in eight games and he's had some no-shows, but I think if the roster doesn't change much, I think Stamkos with Svechkov is the best potential fit, actually. I think there might be something there still, but Svechkov needs to step it up too. So,
especially when Jonathan Marchessault comes back, I don't know if you want to mess with that line with Bunting and Holla that was very good when those three were together early on in the season.
Yeah, you know what you're getting from those three, and you're getting more from Marchessault, I think, with those three than you did last year. Even if not in production, I think you're getting more value shift to shift. So I agree with you on that.
Let's talk Luke Evangelista. I saw a stat, I think it was Alex Doherty again from Tennessee, and shout out Alex, who put out the expected goal leaders. And I know Luke Evangelista doesn't have a goal, and you don't want to rely all on analytics, but it's good to see that missing all of training camp and having to come in late and the issues with his visa didn't seem to slow him down, as he's gotten off to a strong start to this year.
Yeah, he's been good. And he's probably a little PO'd that he got taken off the top line for Matt Wood, but it worked out for Wood, and that's okay. I think Evangelista generated some chances yesterday. He's still on the top power play, which isn't yielding anything, but I think he's a good fit for that top power play, potentially a better fit than Marchessault long term. And the way you said it is the right way to say it, Jake. With the amount of time he did not show up, he has had the best start to a season he's ever had.
Yep.
In his third full NHL season. So I've been very happy with Evangelista, and he should have two goals, by the way. He very, very unselfishly passed to Cole Smith for an empty netter in one of the early games.
There you go.
In Ottawa. And also, he scored a goal that really should have counted. This flew under the radar. Where was this? Was this in Toronto or Ottawa? This was in Ottawa also. It was the same game where he passed out of the empty netter. He scored a goal that did not count.
Right.
The Sens had too many men on the ice, and referees' discretion, they can blow the play dead even if the team that took the too many men hasn't touched the puck, because you don't want all these guys skating around. But this was probably a time they could have let it go, and the Preds scored a goal. Everybody continued playing, and the Preds scored a goal. And it was Evangelista with a beautiful one-timer from Cole Smith. And, that should have been a two-goal game. I think every single – does he have four assists? Is that what you said? Three or four assists?
Yeah,
right
I think he's four.
Whatever it is, every single one he's had has been an assist that even the secondary assists directly created the goal.
Yeah.
So, no, I've been very happy. I think his head is in the right place. By the end of last season, everybody was unhappy. Everybody was in a bad place mentally, as you would be when you're out of it from the second week of the season on. And he's much happier. It's good to hear him laughing and smiling again. And maybe it's only because the Blue Jays are in the World Series. But, it's good to have, I think, Luke Evangelista close to his best form. And hopefully we'll see more and more from him. And he still gets pushed around a little bit, which I think is just, you got to live with it. Like last night, Tyler Myers, who's going to push a lot of people around, was all over him. And I think Evangelista probably deserved a call for that. And referee Eric Furlatt said, "No, screw you, get back to the bench." And I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. But, I know. I think he's shown well.
And Luke's Blue Jays in Toronto tonight, game one of the World Series against the Dodgers. You can listen on 94.9
The Fan. 94.9
The Fan.
There is a big rift in the Predators locker room, not about hockey, but about baseball.
Really?
Many of the Preds players, as we know, are Canadian. This is not breaking news, but they are all Blue Jays
Shocking.
Fans. The head coach, Andrew Brunette, is a massive Blue Jays fan, like watches every game all summer. Massive, massive, massive. He loves baseball. He loves all sports, but Bruno really loves baseball. And perhaps the most important person and the longest tenured person in the Preds locker room, legendary locker room attendant, Craig Partnerbaugh, who many people know.
Yeah.
He has a lot of friends in the sports world. And two of them our Nashville native Mookie Betts and former Nashville Sound Max Muncy.
Wow.
So a partner is going for the Dodgers.
Wow.
There is beef.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be.
Would you like some water?
he's going to be outnumbered in that locker room for sure. You know, again, shocking to learn that most of the players in the Preds locker room are Blue Jays fans. But big game tonight, game one. Again, you can listen at 94.9 The Fan starting at 6 for game one of the World Series. We got more coming with Max on the other side. Huge back-to-back coming up this weekend. You've got the Kings tomorrow. You've got the Stars on Sunday. An opportunity to get some more points on this homestand. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is number 3 Texas A&M versus number 20 LSU at 6:30 on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio for one final segment on this Friday.
Can
Max,
I pick the music next week?
Yeah.
Not that I dislike this, but I just don't know any. You guys are all younger than me, so you're picking like the Disney Channel songs from when I was 15.
Right, I guess that's true.
Would you like me to go back to 1990? I can do that.
You want some like Cheetah Girls
theme song?
Cheetah Girls?
I'm gonna. Well, I was Nickelodeon.
Okay,
I could play some Nickelodeon.
So you want like Drake
Amanda
and Josh
show, all that
theme song?
Drake and Josh.
That could be good.
Yeah. The Drake and Josh music was like actual music. So
yeah,
that's yeah.
Gotta fit the White Girl Friday quota as long as I'm in this.
Connor,
pool.
You're not on the show yet.
I am right now. I'm talking.
Connor Newt, you got a little preview there. He's 10 minutes away from coming on the show.
I did like Chase. In his interview with Stephen Stamkos this week, being like, I'm 37, and I work with all these kids just out of college, and they all make me feel really old. Do you feel like that sometimes? And he got a great answer, too. I was like, that's so funny. Like, I never would have thought about it that way, but, like, that's Stephen Stamkos with Brady Martin.
That is a good point, and I'm sure for Chase it feels like herding cats sometimes with all of the – I mean, Connor's still in college, so, you know. Anyway,
Connor's a special guy.
He is. And he will join the show coming up at the top of the hour. We do have Max for a few more minutes here. Big back-to-back coming up this weekend. You got the Kings, you got the Stars. Two playoff teams from a year ago. Stars considered a Stanley Cup favorite. Not going to be easy, but getting a couple points this weekend would go a long way for this Preds team. You're sitting at 3-3-2 now. Certainly in the mix, and if you can start to string together some wins, would definitely have this team trending in the right direction with so many home games over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you got to bank some points on this homestand, and the remaining three opponents are really tough, all for different reasons.
Yeah.
The Kings are starting to figure it out. They are 3-3-2 now. They've won both their games on this road trip so far in overtime. Blues on Tuesday, Stars last night. Adrian Kempe had the overtime goal in both of those. Sounds like Anze Kopitar actually might play tomorrow. So I said on the postgame show, it's our last time seeing Anze Kopitar in Smashville unless we play him in the playoffs. And then one of our fans came up to me and said he got hurt. And that fan is correct. He did got hurt.
Yeah.
Did get hurt. But, geez, I cannot talk.
He did got hurt.
He did done got hurt. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, he might play tomorrow. So we'll see if Anze Kopitar plays. He's already said this is his last season.
Yeah.
I get to see my favorite non-Pred in the NHL, Andre Kuzmenko, who is an electric factory from Yakutsk, which,
wow,
for those of you who have played the board game
Risk. Yeah.
Is the place that attaches Alaska to Russia in Risk. It is the coldest city in the world. And I think he's so funny, and he's on the Kings now. And they also have Corey Perry, an all-time Smashville villain, who Kings fans don't really like him either because he's a Kings villain, too, from his time with the Ducks. But,
yeah. Corey Perry
is now on the Kings,
trying to check off all 32 teams before he gets out of here over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I will say, quick tangent, I loved the playing with the Kings in Chell when I was younger, like the with Kopitar, Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick was in goal, like that. That was always a fun team to play with. And it's shocking to me that Kopitar is still in the league. Like, with how physical hockey is, the longevity of these guys is ridiculous, with Ovechkin and Crosby still playing. I mean, even Steven Stamkos. I know he's younger than those guys, but, it would be good to see him out there one last time at Bridgestone Arena.
A really well-liked player, and the good players are really good, is what I'll say about the longevity of those guys. And I think Kopitar and Yossi have a lot in common, too. They're the biggest name guys to ever play in the NHL from countries that don't produce a ton of NHLers.
Right.
Kopitar is Slovenian. So there are a lot of kids who play hockey in Slovenia now because of Anze Kopitar, just like Roman Josi in Switzerland. And hockey is popular in both places, but for guys to be NHL stars and captains
right.
from those places is really meaningful. So I really like the Kings. I think that could be a fun game. Sunday night at 6 against the Stars. Stars are under 500 now after losing to the Kings last night. And I have not had a chance to watch them much this season, but first full season there for Mikko Rantanen. You know he's going to be wanting to make some noise.
Yep.
Great player. I really, really like Rantanen. So this is a tough back-to-back, and we'll see what the Preds do with their goalies. I'm not basing this off of anything other than my own thoughts, but do we think there's a chance UC Saros plays both of these games?
It's possible. I mean, the way he's been playing, and when you saw Eustace Onnen out there against Toronto, obviously that wasn't a great performance from him. So I wouldn't be against the idea of throwing juice out there a couple of times and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I'm not against it either. But we will see what the Predators goalie brass and coaching staff come up with for this weekend. But yeah, two good teams, and then the Lightning are here Tuesday. And
right.
The Lightning all of a sudden have the second worst record in the NHL. They are 1-4-2.
Wow.
Actually, they are, let me retabulate here. They are now tied with the Sharks, who had not won until last night.
Wow.
For the worst record in the NHL. They are both 1-4-2. And the Sharks coach, Ryan Warsofsky, said last week that he would give up one of his children for a win.
Wow.
And the Lightning have the same record as that guy's team.
Man, upping the stakes from Mike Vrabel's proposition from a few years ago on Bussin' with the Boys. Wow, giving up one of his children for a regular season win.
I didn't think about it that way.
Wonder,
that's really funny.
I wonder how his children think about that. Oh, wow. Okay. 7 o'clock puck drop tomorrow against the Kings in Bridgestone Arena. Saturday night in Smashville. 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Then Sunday, 6 o'clock puck drop. 5 o'clock pregame against the Dallas Stars.
Tomorrow is actually 6:30 pregame.
Okay.
So we can make sure right. the Vandy game is done by the time we get started.
Correct.
So thanks to the Preds actually for giving us some schedule flexibility to make sure Vanderbilt can be on both 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan tomorrow.
Yep.
Postgame show for Vandy will be only on 94.9 The Fan.
Got it. So you can tune in 102.5 The Game, 94.9 The Fan for Vandy. And then right after Vandy wraps up, you'll be able to listen to Max on the pregame with the Kings and the Preds tomorrow night. You got a pick for Vandy, Missouri tomorrow?
A pick of how many touchdowns James L. Lasseter will have? Because we know Vandy's winning.
I don't know if he even had a carry last week.
Apparently, he was targeted once, but it was not in the portion of the game that I was able to watch on TSN 5 in Winnipeg.
I love it. All right, so you're picking Vandy to win, and James L. Lasseter is going to score at least twice.
I'm picking Vandy to win every game the rest of the year other than Tennessee and beat Oregon at Autzen Stadium in the first round of the playoffs.
There you go. There you go.
Every time you ask me this, I'm adding one layer to it.
Guess what? If they beat Tennessee, maybe there's a playoff game right down the road at First Bank Stadium. We'll have to see.
The dud. Sorry, First Bank. But
yes, Dudley
Field. The dud.
Yeah, Max, appreciate you coming on as always. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Jake.
Well, actually, I don't know if we will. I'll be in Paris, but we'll figure out something. I always appreciate Max Hurs coming on the show. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk some football on the other side. Big football weekend. Titans picking on the Colts in a division matchup on Sunday, and lots of college football to talk about as well. Jake Lyman, Max Hurs, Parker Kelly, next man up on 102.5 The Game.